Chair Rommel.
Here.
Vice Chair Rodriguez.
Present.
Ranking Member Escamani.
Here.
Representatives Daly.
Here.
Gia Lombardo.
Here.
Goff Marcil.
Here.
Gregory.
Here.
Grieco.
Here.
Harding.
Here.
Maggard.
Here.
Mariano.
Here.
Nixon, excused. Umfroy. Overdorf.
Yes, ma'am.
Placon. Robinson.
Here.
Saroy.
Here.
Toledo.
Here.
A quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Amanda. Just a friendly reminder, folks, if you have anything that makes a noise, please turn it off and let's get right to it. Up first, since he's standing in front of the podium, I guess he wants to go first. Representative McClure, please present PCS for HB 1431.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And before we get started, the reason I'm up here is I wanted to be the first to wish Representative Rodriguez a happy birthday.
Ranking Chair, happy birthday.
Three claps, not many friends. All right. House Bill 1431 creates a new exemption to licensure requirements by allowing persons to perform the work of specialty contractors for the construction, remodeling, repair, or improvement of swimming pools and spas. It only allows an unlicensed person to perform the work if the unlicensed person is under the supervision of a licensed swimming pool spa contractor. The work is within the scope of the supervising contractor's license. The supervising contractor is responsible for the work, and the work does not require licensure as a subcontractor, such as plumbing contractor or electrical contractor. And members, you'll remember we passed this bill off the floor last year. That is the bill.
Thank you. Members, any questions? Any questions? No. Any public testimony? We do have some public testimony. Great. Okay. We have Paul Valgol from Florida Swimming Pools Associates. He's waving in support. Thank you, Paul. We have Dalton? I can't even read that. Dallas Desmond from Florida Swimming Pools. Also, you want to speak? Waving in support. Thank you. Members, we're in debate. No debate. You are recognized to close.
Wave close.
Amanda, please call the roll.
Representatives Daly. Escamani.
Yes.
Gia Lombardo.
Yes.
Goff Marcil.
Yes.
Gregory.
Yes.
Grieco.
Yes.
Harding.
Yes.
Maggard.
Yes.
Mariano.
Yes.
Umfroy. Overdorf.
Yes, ma'am.
Placon. Robinson.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Saroy.
Yes.
Toledo. Chair Rommel.
Yes.
The bill has passed.
Thank you. By your vote, we will show PCS for HB 1431 reported favorably. Congratulations. Up next, we are going to go to... Representative Duggan, you are recognized to present HB 1517.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the Department of Business and Professional Regulation proposed agency bill. It clarifies certain regulatory processes, timeframes, and the authority of the department to enhance operational efficiencies and improve services to license holders and other agency stakeholders. That is the bill.
Thank you for that explanation. Members, do you have any questions? No questions. I understand that there's an amendment on it?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Could you please present that amendment?
Thank you. Stand by. So the amendment is to Section 6 of the bill, and it deletes an obligation for the payment of a $4 fee by construction individuals licensed by the Construction Industry Licensing Board. That was an oversight. It should have been included in the original bill, so it's just a cleanup. That's the amendment.
Thank you. Members, any questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions, any public testimony on the amendment? Seeing no public testimony, any debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate, show that amendment is adopted without objection. We're back on the bill. Members, any questions on the bill as amended? Seeing no questions, any public testimony? We have some... Kevin Curry from Nemo Inc. He's a proponent of the bill. Hold on. Sorry, some technical problems here. Thank God the ranking member corrected us here. You know, that's why I have
him. Yeah, that's right.
We have no public testimony members. We are in debate. Okay, Ranking Member Eskamani, thank you.
Thank you. I just wanted to thank Chair Duggan for a good bill that helps make DBVR a little more efficient. We've worked with DBVR a lot during the pandemic, and I know that tightening up some of their processes and also the fee change schedule seems like it's in the best interest of hotels and restaurants as well. So I think those are some good changes. So thanks for carrying it.
Thank you. Additional debate? Representative Rodriguez, Ranking Member. Vice Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Duggan, I just want to thank you for this very good bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. With that, you are recognized to close on this very good bill.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Ranking Member, for those kind words. Thank you, Vice Chair, and happy birthday. I close.
Okay. Amanda, please call the roll on HB 1517.
Representatives Daly, Eskamani.
Yes.
Gia Lombardo?
Yes.
Goff Marcil?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Mariano?
Yes.
Umfroy?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Placon? Robinson?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Toledo? Chair Rommel?
Yes.
The bill has passed.
Thank you, Amanda. By your vote, we will show HB 1517 reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you, members.
Up next, we have Representative McLean presenting 1577, which I believe there's going to be public testimony right now. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ranking Member, Vice Chairman Rodriguez, happy birthday. Ranking Member Eskamani, thank you for letting me be here to present House Bill 1577. Members, this bill, the Florida Building Commission, located within the Department of Business and Professional Regulation, implements and adopts the Florida Building Code. Current law requires the Commission to develop and implement an approval of construction products for statewide use. Currently, the Commission has authority to approve an entity as an approved testing laboratory or a certification agency if it meets the Commission's rules. However, the Commission does not have the authority to approve an entity as an evaluation entity. In order to be approved as an evaluation entity, it has to be done through the legislative process with a bill. And this bill would add Nemo ETC LLC to the list of approved evaluation entities that may issue product evaluation reports. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Members, do you have any questions? Seeing no questions, do we have any public testimony? And we do. Now we have Kevin Corey from Nemo Inc.
Keena.
Waving in support, thank you. And we have Carrie Helbrook from PFS TECO. She's a proponent of the bill, waving in support. Members, we are in debate. Seeing no debate, you are recognized to close.
I'll wave close.
Amanda, please call the roll on HB 1577.
Representatives Daly, Eskamani.
Yes.
Gia Lombardo.
Yes.
Goff Marcil.
Yes.
Gregory.
Yes.
Grieco.
Yes.
Harding.
Yes.
Maggard.
Yes.
Mariano.
Yes.
Umfroy.
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Placon? Robinson?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Toledo? Chair Rommel?
Yes.
The bill has passed.
Thank you, Amanda. By your vote, members, we will show House Bill 1577 reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, members.
Up next, Representative Mello, come on down and present PCS for HB 491.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Chair Rommel, and members of the committee for your consideration of 491 today. For years now, it has been Florida's goal to promote the American dream. We want Floridians to be able to get a job, buy a home, and raise a family in an affordable manner that encourages more freedom. To achieve this goal, the legislature has traditionally worked to place the key to success into the hands of our citizens. This bill continues that tradition by increasing citizen participation on the Florida Real Estate Appraisal Board by replacing an appraisal management company representative with a member of the general public. The current composition of the Florida Real Estate Appraisal Board, also known as FREAB, is 9 members, 4 active real estate appraisers, 1 representative of appraisal users, 2 members of the general public, and 2 AMC representatives. HB 303's original intent was a projection of over 1,000 AMC entities. 11 years later, we have 219 AMCs, leading to a disproportionate presence in our state. This bill provides a more equitable distribution of industry presentation, and by reducing the number of board members who represent the appraisal management industry by 1 and increasing the number of board members who represent the general public from 2 to 3. On opening day of session, many priorities were outlined. One of those priorities were to review existing boards and agencies and make them better for the good of Florida's citizens. This bill makes a good board better by increasing citizen oversight and placing another key to success into the hands of Floridians. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Mello, real quick, is this your first bill you've presented in this committee?
No, it is not. This committee, yes,
yeah,
it is.
I got to this committee, I thought so. Well,
yes, Chair.
I just wanted to make sure. But members, do we have any questions for Representative Mello's first bill in this committee? Nobody has any questions. Do we have any? Oh, we do. Representative Mariano.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you please name every board in the state of Florida?
Well, the one that's...
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you for that great question, Representative Mariano. One of the most important to me is the largest trade organization in the state of Florida, which is Florida Realtors.
Paula? I do have a question. How many realtors are in the state of Florida?
Excuse me, Mr. Chair, is that a follow-up?
No, that's a direct question. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, there are, I believe, over 200,000.
All right.
Yes.
Right.
Members of Florida Realtors, over 400,000 licensees.
All right, members. We're going to go to any additional questions? Representative Roy, do you have a question down there?
Why not, Mr. Okay. Chairman? I'll defend you. How many houses have been sold in the last 20 minutes?
You're recognized if you know that.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Rommel. That's a great question, Representative Saroy. And I don't have the answer to that, but I will make sure that I get back with you, let you know.
Representative Overdorf, you're recognized.
Do you know where I can get a 5-5 somewhere in Tallahassee close to the Capitol?
Point of order,
You're recognized if you understand.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Yes, Representative, that is a great question. And if I can find one of those, I'm sure I will need one for every member of this committee. But I'll start looking for you.
So that's a no? You don't know where one is?
I do not at the current moment, no.
I'm down.
Right. Representative Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for this fair bill. Can you name me one member, just one member, of the Florida Real Estate Appraisal Board?
That sounds like a serious question. You were recognized to answer that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That is a very serious question, and I have done research on everything but that. I can tell you how many hours it takes to be an appraiser representative. I can tell you what degrees you have to have. I do not know the answer to that question. Oh, stand by, please, sir.
Representative Mello, if you'd like us to TP the bill until you get that information, we can come back to that.
No, okay. Thank you, Chair. May I respond, Chair?
You may.
Okay, certified residential. Diwali has been there since 2021. Rabin, newly appointed. Under certified general, we have Wilson, newly appointed. Jordan, newly appointed. Under the AMC, we have a vacancy. And Orito, who's a holdover. The consumer, members are Warren, who's a holdover, and Rika, who's a holdover. And the user member is Rooney since 2021.
Follow up, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
How many years is each term?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I don't know the answer to that question. Representative, I will get back to you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
That's not nice, Will.
Thank you. Members, they were really great questions, and I appreciate that. All right, we are in public testimony. Andrew Gonzalez from the Florida Association of Realtors. I assume you're waving in support. Okay, members, we are in debate. Debate, any members wishing to debate? No. Representative, all kidding aside, I just want to thank you. I know you worked really hard to get this in a place that everybody was happy with, and I commend you actually on your hard work, and you know, thank you for the work you did there, and thanks for putting up with the serious questions that we had today. You are recognized to close.
I wave close, Chair.
Congratulations. Amanda, please call the roll.
Representatives Daly, Escamani.
Yes.
Gio Lombardo. Goff Marcil?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Mariano?
Yes.
Nixon?
Yes.
Umfroy?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Plakin?
Yes.
Robinson?
A great bill, yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Toledo? Chair Rommel?
Yes.
The bill has passed.
Thank you, Amanda. Members, by your vote, we will show PCS for HB 491 reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you. Happy birthday, Representative Rodriguez.
Thank you. You have one more friend. Thank you. Representative Wilhite, you are recognized to present HB 979.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Thank you for allowing me to present House Bill 979. This bill would create an exemption in the Village of Wellington, a municipality in Palm Beach County, to allow the 43-acre municipality of Village of Wellington to create a 9,000-acre exemption. That 9,000 acres is called the Equestrian Overlay Zoning District. In that area, during the equestrian season, we house approximately 13,000 stalls and horses in stalls. As you can see, that's a huge influx of horses that we bring to the town during the equestrian season, therefore also bringing in great opportunity for tax revenue and business. And the problem with fireworks and horses is they don't really like each other. Horses don't like loud noises, sounds, and explosions. Therefore, when the horses have this, they'll tend to startle, they'll run, they'll start to sweat, they can overheat, and they can even die. They can also, when doing so, can take off, and when they do it, could hurt someone or damage property. Creating this exemption would allow them to not have them in this area, except for under certain opportunities people would have for agricultural uses or under professional regulation with a permit. And so we're asking you to allow this exemption from in this municipality to protect the horses and the property and the lives of both. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Members, do we have any questions? Any questions? I just have one question. I know you worked hard in this bill. Have any horses directly communicated with you that they're upset with fireworks?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just their owners have to this point. They've been silent on this.
All right. Thank you. That's important. Do we have any public testimony? Seeing no public testimonies, members were in debate. Seeing no debate, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'll close by asking for your favorable support. Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda. Please call the roll.
Representatives Daly. Escamani?
Yes.
Gio Lombardo? Goff Marcil?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Mariano?
Yes.
Nixon?
Yes.
Umfroy?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Plakin?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Toledo? Chair Rommel?
Yes.
The bill has passed.
Thank you, Amanda. With your vote, members, we will show HB 979 reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, colleagues. Happy birthday, Representative.
Thank you. Up next, we're going to have Representative Killebrew. You are recognized to present House Bill 697.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, committee. CSHB 697 authorizes EMTs personnel to transport an injured police canine to a veterinary clinic or a similar facility. This canine may be transported as long as there is no person requiring medical attention and or transport. And that's the bill.
Thank you. Members, any questions? No questions. Do we have any public testimony? We have Donald Olson from the Office of the Attorney General. Waving in support, thank you. Jennifer Pritt from Florida Police Chief Association. Jennifer, waving in support. Catherine McFall from the Humane Society of the United States, waving in support. Allison Prignaski from the Animal Legal Defense Fund, waving in support, thank you. And we have Travis Moore from the Animal Defense League also waving in support. Thank you. Members, we are in debate. We are in debate. Representative Overdorf.
Representative Killebrew, thank you so much for bringing this important bill forward. These are an integral part of our law enforcement, and I'm grateful that they will get the same treatment as our human law enforcement as well. And many of these members of our law enforcement team are certainly just go above and beyond for their partners, and thank you for bringing this forward so they would get that same treatment.
Thank you.
Additional debate? No debate. You are recognized to close.
Wave close.
Amanda, please call the roll.
Representatives Daly, Escamani.
Yes.
Gia Lombardo. Goff Mercil.
Yes.
Gregory.
Yes.
Grieco.
Yes.
Harding.
Yes.
Maggard.
Yes.
Mariano.
Yes.
Nixon.
Yes.
Umfroy.
Yes.
Overdorf.
Yes, ma'am.
Plakin.
Yes.
Robinson.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Sir Roy.
Yes.
Toledo. Chair Rommel.
Yes.
The bill has passed.
Thank you, Amanda. And by your vote, members, we will show CS for HB 697 reported favorably. Congratulations.
Up thank next, you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, committee.
Thank you. We're going to have Representative Schoaf presenting CS for HB 867.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Finally got to where I have to wear glasses now.
It only gets worse.
House Bill 867 will move Florida's community associations into the 21st century by clarifying how community association boards can operate in a pandemic, streamlining community association documents, increasing transparency, and reducing cost on Florida homeowners. This bill will update emergency powers of community association boards during a state health emergency. This bill will increase transparency by allowing homeowners to inspect documents without having to provide a specific purpose. This bill will reduce cost for Florida homeowners by increasing the transfer fee cost from $100 to $150, allowing the associations to recoup their actual cost related to a background check in connection with a sale, lease, or mortgage, et cetera. And by closing a loophole that allows subrogation rights to only the individual policy carriers, which is driving up premiums and cost on Florida's condo owners. And that is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Members, any questions? No questions. All right, public debate. Public testimony. Ooh, we have a bunch. More than the dogs that were being police dogs are being transported. Pete Dunbar for the Real Property Probate and Trust section of the Florida Bar, waving in support. William Schuyler from the Florida Home Builders Association, proponent of the bill.
Waving in support.
Thank you. Carrie Humbrook from Florida Home Builders Association, I know she's waving in support also. Travis Moore, Community Association Institute. Waiving in support. Thank you. Travis Moore, First Service Residential Florida. Waiving in support again. Mark Anderson, Chief Executive Office of Management Companies. Waiving in support. Benjamin Murphy, Florida Association of Insurance Agents. Waiving in support. Jordan Burkett, Chief Executive Officers of the Management Companies. Waiving in support. Nancy Stewart, Florida Resident Owned Communities, Inc. Waiving in support. And Marco Paradis from On Top of the World Communities. Waiving in support. Members, we're in debate. Debate. No debate. You are recognized and closed on your good bills.
Wave close.
Wave close. Amanda, please call the roll.
Representatives Daly, Escamani.
Yes.
Gia Lombardo. Goff Marcil.
Yes.
Gregory.
Yes.
Grieco.
Yes.
Harding.
Yes.
Maggard.
Yes.
Mariano.
Yes.
Nixon.
Yes.
Umfroy.
Yes.
Overdorf.
Yes, ma'am.
Plakin.
Yes.
Robinson.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Saroy.
Yes.
Toledo. Chair Rommel.
Yes.
Show the bill has passed.
Thank you, Amanda. And by your vote, show HB, CS for HB 867 reported favorably. Congratulations. Representative Chambliss, you are up. Please present HB 7007.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. HB 7007 is a bill that saves from repeal the public records exemption for criminal or civil intelligence or investigative information or any other information held by the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services as part of a joint or multi-agency examination or investigation with another state or federal regulatory, administrative, or criminal justice agency when the information being shared is confidential or exempt under the laws or regulations of that state or federal agency. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Members, any questions? Any questions? No questions and public testimony? No public testimony? Members were in debate. No debate. We're getting Mr. Representative Chambliss off very easy. You are recognized to close.
I would just like to say happy birthday to Representative Rodriguez as well.
Thank you. And with that wonderful close, Amanda, please call the roll.
Representatives Daly, Escamani.
Yes.
Gia Lombardo. Goff Marcil.
Yes.
Gregory.
Yes.
Grieco.
Yes.
Harding. Maggard.
Yes.
Mariano.
Yes.
Nixon.
Yes.
Umfroy.
Yes.
Overdorf.
Yes, ma'am.
Plakin.
Yes.
Robinson.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Saroy.
Yes.
Toledo.
Yes.
Chair Rommel.
Yes.
Show the bill has passed.
Thank you, Amanda. And show HB 4007 reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Up next, we have Representative Toledo presenting PCS for HB 987. Welcome back. How do you go? You are recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Members, many of you know that last year the legislature passed a bill out of both chambers to combat the rapid increase in underage vaping. However, the bill did not earn the signature of the governor. So this year we're taking an approach to ensure all stakeholders' concerns are taken into account. For the new members who did not hear the bill last year, with nearly half of all middle and high school students trying or using e-cigarettes regularly, it is our duty to create a regulatory framework around the establishments that sell these products to hold them accountable. A leading contributor to underage use has been social sourcing. That's when a purchaser of legal age provides these products to an underage user. For example, there are nearly 500,000 18-year-olds in our state who could legally purchase these products and turn around and sell them to their underage peers, beginning the track of lifelong nicotine addiction. It starts in our high schools. In December of 2019, Congress passed legislation to make Tobacco 21 the law of the land. Even with the new federal legislation in effect, it is critical that Florida aligns our minimum age of purchase laws to facilitate full implementation and enforcement of Tobacco 21 in our state and to ensure our state's share of grant funding. The PCS for House Bill 987 raises the age to purchase, use, or possess tobacco products, nicotine products, and nicotine dispensing devices from 18 to 21. It also creates a separate part of Chapter 569 for the regulation of nicotine products and nicotine dispensing devices, which mirrors the regulation of tobacco products and requires DBPR to regulate nicotine products and nicotine dispensing devices. It also requires retailers of nicotine and nicotine dispensing devices products to have a retail nicotine products dealer permit, which does not have a fee. The retailers with a tobacco product dealer can permit and can sell tobacco, nicotine products, and nicotine dispensing devices. It preempts the establishment of the minimum age for the sale and delivery of tobacco products, and nicotine dispensing devices, and the regulation of the marketing of such products to the state. However, such preemption does not prohibit a local government's ability to require licensure for the retail sale of tobacco products, and nicotine dispensing devices. This bill does not prohibit the sale of flavored liquid nicotine products except for the flavor of tobacco and menthol. That's not part of this bill. That is the bill.
Thank you. Members, I know there's amendment, but do you have any questions on the bill as is right now? You have a question? Ranking Member Escamano.
Thank you so much, and thank you, Rep, for all your work on this bill. Thinking about the new regulatory structure and without the fee, could you just help to share with us, is there a concern about DBPR not being able to forward regulation if there is no fee? Maybe just kind of add more context to this separate regulatory structure.
You're recognized.
Thank you for that question, and thank you, Chair. And they did not express any concern when I spoke to the DBPR. It will be regulated and enforced through the Alcohol, Business, and Tobacco Division, and they will absorb those costs.
Thank you. Okay. Representative Harding, would you please present the amendment for Representative G. Lombardo?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment clarifies the provision in the bill that provides that the establishment of the minimum age to purchase or possess tobacco products and nicotine products and the regulation of the marketing, sell, and delivery of such products is preempted to the state. It also removes the provision indicating that the preemption may not be construed to affect that a local government's ability to require retail licensure for the sale of tobacco products or nicotine products, and that is the amendment.
Okay. Members, any questions on the amendment? Ranking Member Escamani.
Thank you so much, Chair. And I'm not sure the best person to answer the question, but just so we're clear, is the preemption on marketing material? So, for example, if at a gas station or a quickie mart, if the business put vape pens or products next to the candy section and the local government didn't like that, are they able to do something about it? Or would this amendment mean that they have their hands tied?
I know, Representative Harding, you can try to answer, but I think Representative Toledo could probably answer that.
Heard of you.
Are you sure you don't want to answer? I'm just kidding. So this would be preempted to the state. Currently, there is they're in the best position to regulate tobacco products. Allowing the state to maintain regulatory control creates a consistent environment throughout the state. And there are a lot of restrictions already on tobacco products that will apply to nicotine products as well.
Thank you. Representative Escamani, I'm pretty sure that under state regulation, we don't allow tobacco advertising next to the candy bars.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional questions? Any public testimony on the amendment? We have Ashley Livery from American Lung Association. Wave in opposition. And then we have Alejandro Gonzalez from the United Way of Broward County. Also wave Wave and support. Is that the wave and support? Okay, great. Members, any additional, no additional question? Representative Harding, you are recognized to close, and with no objection, shall that amended adopted. We are back on the bill as amended. Representative members, we're in debate. Public testimony, more to public test, thank you.
Okay, the vice chair's on his birthday.
Yeah, we do that. We're really nice here that way. Alejandro Gonzalez from United Way of Broward County, waving in support. Ashley Livery from American Lung Association, waving in support. Susan Harbin from the American Cancer Society, Action Network and its affiliates. An opponent of the bill, you'd like to speak? You are recognized.
Hi, good afternoon, Chair and committee members. Thank you for having me today. Happy birthday, Representative Rodriguez. And I first want to thank Representative Toledo for sitting down with us. I know that she's put in a lot of work on this issue. I'm Susan Harbin with the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network, and our goal and our mission is to promote policies that reduce cancer deaths and disease nationwide. Unfortunately, we are opposed to the bill, and it's the committee substitute that's before you today. And I think there's a lot of misconceptions about what is required and what this bill would do and what the state needs to do at this point. And the way it's drafted now, this bill doesn't actually align with federal law. In fact, there's a military exemption that would allow individuals that are participating in the military that are under 21 to purchase tobacco products. So the federal law has been raised as of December 2019. It's 21 across the board. In fact, the military itself last summer, they raised the age themselves, and it was part of their mission to make sure that their troops and their members were combat ready and fit and healthy. Additionally, this bill continues to put the onus on youth, so it maintains the state's youth penalty use and purchase law, purchase use and possession laws, that instead of putting the burden on the retailer to make sure that they're not selling, and of course there are fines and penalties in place for them as well, it's really targeting the youth. And we know that that is not an effective deterrent when it comes to keeping youth off of cigarettes, traditional tobacco products, or also e-cigarettes and vaping devices. Second, I do want to point out that the state already has a really strong framework in place for enforcing sales of tobacco products that's done through DBPR. And the simplest and most effective way to do this, which we would possibly be able to support, is just putting the definition of all of these different products under the existing definition of tobacco products and just applying that same regulatory structure, which means the retailers would pay the same fee, which goes to fund the compliance efforts. And I want to go back to, you know, we talk about we need to raise the age to be in compliance with federal law. We don't actually have to pass a state law that raises the law or raises the age. So the age is 21, but we do have to demonstrate that our retailers are in compliance. So when the FDA does their, random checks, they need to be able to see that the state is enforcing that 21 age limit on its retailers as well. And that's where that potential to lose additional funding comes into place. But there's no longer a requirement that the state has to raise its age. However, because we're not going to be charging a fee to these vape retailers, I have a question about, number one, who's funding this additional enforcement burden that DBPR is going to be taking on? Is it coming from another state fund? Is it going to be subsidized by the fees that are paid by the tobacco retailers? Or my fear is that it's just not going to be enforced, or it's going to be very loosely enforced. Finally, I want to point out that there is a carve-out for incidental nicotine products in this bill. And we have a lot of questions about that, mainly because it's not something that's defined. And we're not sure who, if any, state agency or authority has the ability to come in and test or sample to see how much or if any nicotine is in a product. And considering they're carved out, that obviously means that they're able to be sold to individuals under 21 or even under 18 at this point. And I also do want to go to just finally touch on the preemption piece. So local governments actually, they stepped in when the vaping epidemic was, you know, really coming to light. And they started regulating, you know, limiting advertisements and where e-cigarettes and vaping devices could be placed prior to the FDA even coming in. So they've really been on the forefront, and they continue to do a lot of work. A lot of these proposals come from youth groups, school groups, and it's a coalition building, and they have local retail tobacco license programs that address things like marketing of the products and making sure that, you know, youth is not targeted. And that would wipe out a lot of these. So it would nullify, because there's a blanket preemption and there's not even a carve-out, granted, the marketing preemption would have probably wiped them out anyway. We were very concerned about that, because you're getting rid of these local ordinances that are doing, you know, really good work, but you're not putting anything in place. So we have a lot of concerns about that, and I know that a lot of the cities and counties hopefully would come forward and share their ordinances with you as well. But I'm happy to answer any questions, and I do appreciate the sponsor listening to our concerns, and I know that they are lengthy. But again, we are opposed today, but be happy to work on changes moving forward.
Right. Thank you for your testimony today. Ashley Liverly from the American Lung Association, waiving in opposition. Alejandro Gonzalez, United Way of Broward County, waiving in support. Alejandro Abad from the Florida Dental Association, waiving in support. Thank you. Members, we are in debate. We're in debate. Thank you, Member Escamani.
Thank you so much, Chair. And thank you to Chair Toledo, who I know this topic is super, super important to you. And I think we have a shared goal of eliminating teen vaping. And for that, I'm internally grateful. And I did speak to both the prime co's on this bill about some of my concerns, and they echo the concerns just shared by Susan from some of our health-based organizations. And I do have a concern around the preemptive nature for local governments, and I also have a concern around the new regulatory framework. And for me, I think it would make sense to just put these same nicotine-like products under tobacco. We already have a great framework that works, and it seems like the mirroring of the framework is basically the same, except there is no fee. And I think it would make more sense to just tie these products under the same framework versus go through another bureaucratic process of developing new rules under DPPR, which is going to take time. And if we really want to start regulating these products sooner than later, it'd be better just to put it under the same category. The last thing I'll add is I do appreciate the points brought up around young people being the target if they are the ones purchasing these products versus the seller. And I think in an effort of thinking about criminal legal system reform and looking at policies that work, punishing the young person might not always be the way to actually make them stop the behavior. So I have a concern on that element too. I know Representative Chair Toledo will continue to meet with all the stakeholders. She has proven that time and time again. And so hopefully as the bill progresses, I'll be able to support it. But for those concerns, I'll be down the bill today. Thank you so much, Chair.
Representative Overdorf.
Thank you. And thank you, Chair Toledo, for talking with me. I just have a philosophical issue with 18-year-olds considering 21-year-olds and 21-year-olds back to 18-year-olds. I would like everything to be either at 18 or at 21. And it's way out of your control, I realize that, but for the age reason, I'll be down today. Thank you so much.
Representative Mariano.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative Toledo. I know this issue is so important to you, and it's very commendable how hard you've continually worked on it. I will just echo Representative Overdorf's concerns as well. For me, the age is just an issue I can't get past. And again, I know that's probably out of your control as well, but at the end of the day, philosophically, I think we have done a very poor job at making policy that makes a consistent age of what age are you an adult? And I think that it needs to be at 18. We need to have that across the board. So I really appreciate your work, but I'm gonna be down today.
Okay. Representative Toledo, I wanna give you credit. I know this is very passionate about you, and when there is a federal law that says one thing and the state law says another thing, you know, I think I commend you for trying to bring them alignment. I also commend you that, you know, we do have brave men and women, you know, that serve our military that are willing to put their life on the line for anything. And I commend you for that exemption, because to me, if they're willing to put their life on the line to protect us, if they want to go and vape, I have no problem with that whatsoever. So I know you worked hard on it. I know there's some heartache, but I know you're in a good place, and you know you've done done some good work there. So with that, Representative Goff Marcel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I spoke with Rep. Toledo about this. I really do like the age part, moving it to 21, because alcohol sales are at 21, so I do think it should be at 21. Then I found out that the federal law already was at 21, and all those concerns that were brought to me by the speaker that was here, I'm going to have to be down on it today just because of that. I'm worried that this is a way to get the vaping in, and I'm not sure if it's protecting, which is what our your goal is, and to protect the young people, which is what my goal is as well. So I'm just going to be down on it today, but hopefully something will happen to get it better to where I can support it. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Seeing no additional debate, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, members. This bill is necessary because not only does it align us with the federal law, but it also allows us to have a regulatory framework. Currently, we don't know how many vape shops are out there, and you probably have seen them in your neighborhoods and your communities. We have absolutely no idea how many there are in the state of Florida. So this bill will allow us to have an idea. And also, mirroring the framework will allow us to go back maybe next year or 2 years and strengthen those laws and not apply to tobacco, because they are different. Nicotine dispensing devices and cigarettes are different. So if in 2 years we want to go back and make changes, we can, that will not impact the tobacco laws. So with that, I think this bill is about access and limiting access to these harmful products for our youth. I really hope that you will be able to support the bill.
Thank you. Amanda, please call the roll on PCS or HB 987.
Representatives Daley, Escamani?
No.
Gia Lombardo?
Yes.
Goff Marcil?
No.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Mariano?
No.
Nixon?
Yes.
Umfroy?
Yes.
Overdorf?
No, ma'am.
Plakin?
Yes.
Robinson? Rodriguez?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Toledo?
Yes.
Chair Rommel?
Yes.
So the bill has passed.
Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you.
By your vote, show HB or 987 reported favorably. That is actually PCS for HB 987 reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, Chair.
Up next is Representative Rizzo presenting HB 47003.
Thank you very much, Chair Rommel. Vice Chair Rodriguez, happy birthday and safe travels. Ranking Member Escamani, members and staff, PCB GOS 21-02 saves from repeal the public record exemption for all proprietary confidential business information provided by a promoter to the State Boxing Commission or obtained by the State Boxing Commission during an audit of the promoter's books and records. And that is the bill, sir.
Okay, I just want to make sure you know that now it's HB for 7003.
Excuse me.
But you did present the right bill. I just want to put it in the right
7026? I'm sorry.
It was that.
7003, yes, I'm sorry. Okay. A note is covering that up. I apologize.
I know a good eye doctor if you need him.
I need to get my eyes checked.
Members, any questions? Seeing no questions, any public testimony? No public testimony. Members, we are in debate. No debate. You are recognized to close.
I wave closer.
Amanda, please call the roll on HB 7003.
Representatives Daley?
Yes.
Escamani?
Yes.
Gio Lombardo?
Yes.
Gulf Mercil?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Mariano? Nixon?
Yes.
Umfroy?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Placon?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Rodriguez? Saroy?
Yes.
Toledo?
Yes.
Chair Rommel?
Yes.
So the bill has passed.
Thank you, Amanda. Members, by your vote, we will show HB 7003 reported favorably. Members, that is it for today. And I was going to suggest this all. Show ranking member Rodriguez a little love because only three people clapped for his birthday, but he seems to be so upset he has left. So since seeing no further business, Representative Robinson moves we adjourn. And without objection, we are adjourned.